Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 11. And it's me, Rafe Blanford.
With me, Ewan Spence, here up in sunny and windy and rainy Edinburgh.
And this is a very special insight because this week we've got two special guests. Rejoining us from last week is Stefan. So say hello, Stefan.
Hello, everyone. Stefan here, intomobile.com.
And also, for the first time on All About Symbian Insight, we've got Ricky Cadden from Symbian Guru. So if you'd like to say hello, Ricky.
Hey, this is Ricky Cadden, SymbianGuru.com, and I'm glad to be here, right?
That's great. Thanks very much for agreeing to join us, Stefan and Ricky. We had some great feedback from Stefan as a guest last week, so we're going to try and get some more guests on the show on a regular basis so you don't get bored listening to the British trio of myself, Ewan and Steve. So
We're British now, are we? British, yes, thank you.
Well, okay, the English duo of Rafe and Steve and the Scottish, you know, of Ewan. So this week we're going to be talking a bit about some of the corporate activity that's been happening in the mobile world over the last week. And the very first thing that I'd like to touch on is Nokia and Trolltech. So Ewan, would you like to just describe to us what's been going on with Nokia and Trolltech?
Yep, Nokia have basically bought Trolltech. I think they offered €15 a share and they were trading at about 13.10, something. Nice markup for those people who own the company. Trolltech is basically an operating system company. They work in Linux. They do development tools. They have their own mobile handset, the green handset, and they also invest quite heavily in one of the UIs. I think it's KDE that they work in. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong or I can get shot down. In the comments, it seems to be happening quite regularly this week. It's an interesting play. These corporate takeovers always are. It's usually these things usually happen because company A wants one or two things from company B, but company B also has things 3, 4, and 5, which everybody think are really important, and they kind of get ignored, left behind, put aside. It's something that you see time and time again. I mean, if we only go back couple of months, Google bought Jaiku, and everybody thought that, yay, Jaiku is really important. But there is that underlying idea that maybe Google actually bought it so they could get the brains of the guys behind Jaiku and just left a bit of the software sitting at the side to wither and die. It's something Google have done very well. Nokia, of course, now have a VP for corporate acquisitions, Jared Weiner, who of course used to run the Engage team. Handed that over in the great reorg, and he had runs a dedicated department for Nokia to find things to buy.
Okay, thank you, Ewan. I think, I don't know about you other guys, but I think a lot of the excitement on the web around this was the fact that Trolltech is very well known as a Linux company and has done a lot of activity in there. Ewan's already mentioned KDE, but also Qt, which is a cross-platform development environment. In some ways, you can think about Qt as a bit like S60 for something that runs across multiple platforms, and it has its strongest strength certainly in the Linux world, but it's also used in applications such as Skype and Google Earth. Indeed, this is the reason that Nokia said they bought the company. They wanted to be able to create a platform to developers that worked across both mobile and PCs. And that actually does fit in quite neatly with their software strategy. And I know this is something that Stefan from Into Mobile actually posted about this week. And I thought, Stefan, you'd like to talk us through what you thought the software strategy implications of this was.
Absolutely. Actually, way back when at Nokia World 2007, there was a speech given by Nicholas Savander, who as of January 1st, 2008, is now the head of software and services. Essentially, he said that when they purchase Trolltech, well, not when they purchase, but if they purchase a company, it isn't about the Linux platform, but it's about the open source tools. And I recommend everyone hear him speak because he said open source does not equal Linux. In some cases it might, but what Nokia wants to do isn't predominantly about that. They want Qt so that instead of creating an address book for example S60, S40, MAMO, it would be created once and it would run on all the platforms. So essentially, Qt is about creating a cross-development software layer that will allow Nokia to write something once and port it across all their platforms.
And presumably that will be available to third-party developers, or it's likely to be. And here we're really talking about cost savings in terms of developing software, but also, and perhaps even more importantly, reducing the time to market it takes for Nokia and its developers to deliver things. Would you agree with that, Stefan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Qt is open source, always was, always will be, and I think that Nokia wants to create a application layer that they hope that every other manufacturer adopts, because we all know the sad state of Java, and S60, while they do own 50% of the smartphone business, isn't 100, so they want to increase that.
And do you think this has implications for the future of S60 as a software platform, in that something like Qt could replace it, or are you? Do you think we're more likely to see Qt sit alongside S60, or rather S60 become Qt-enabled?
I think we're going to see S60 become Qt-enabled. That's exactly what Nicholas Savander said. He said that they have ported S60 over to Linux as a technical experiment, but it wasn't worth it to switch away from Symbian, so you should be happy about that.
Absolutely. Well, of course, we're interested in the phones as much as anything, and this technical background is also interesting. So, Ricky, have you got an insight to offer us on the Trolltech acquisition?
I do. I've read, you know, little bits and pieces about it here and there, and one thing that it seems to stick out to me is that, like we mentioned already, it enables Nokia to basically write an application once and be able to run that on different platforms. And I think, aside from the handsets, is just desktops. Nokia's got plenty of desktop applications coming soon. They're going to have, obviously, the Nokia Music Player for desktops that they showed off in London at the Go Play event. And there's also going to be an Ovi Suite. And I think that another benefit of the Trolltech will be being able to have a Mac version and a Linux version and different desktop versions of these applications without having to completely start from scratch on each one. Because I know that Nokia takes quite a bit of heat whenever there's a new version of PC Suite from the Mac users especially.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it by no means guarantees it, but it certainly makes it a lot easier for them to do that sort of thing. And I think you're absolutely right. We're going to be seeing a lot more PC software in the future. The sort of internet software and services strategy, by very implication, implies that it works in three places, mobile, PC, and web. So I think the next bit of news to move on to is Motorola. And Motorola had a recent announcement yesterday, just before the weekend, if you're listening to this next week. Do you want to give us a quick rundown on what that involves, Ricky?
Yes, basically, Motorola came out with the Razr several years ago, and you know, one of the best-selling handsets in history, almost. And they really haven't done anything since then. They've released the same phone in about 80 different colors and versions and whatnot. And so they've been trying to turn themselves around, and basically announced recently that they are looking into cutting off the mobile phone division as kind of a separate entity almost, which would kind of enable them to focus more on the other parts of their business and be able to separate that phone business out to investors and whatnot. So they are looking at even selling it to another manufacturer or a company who might be interested in it. So personally, I think I'm kind of torn between the two. I don't really know that anybody could really pick it up and make anything out of it, to be honest with you. I think the biggest flaw is they just keep releasing 8 different versions of the same hardware. And I think that was where they started doubling a lot. Was not really innovating in terms of features and software and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you, Ricky. I mean, the news here is, of course, that they're thinking about it. They haven't actually decided what they're going to do. And I think if they were to sort of sell it off, it's most likely to go to a private equity firm, a bit like the IBM Lenovo situation with laptops. But frankly, I see that as as the worst option. I still think Motorola need to rethink its strategy internally, and there's signs that they're doing that, which we'll talk about in a moment. But for me, given that their mobile device division is still 50% of the company, and it's really the main one that carries the Motorola brand, and they spent a lot of money building up that brand, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to divest off the mobile devices division, especially if you consider that, relatively speaking, it would only take a couple of good handsets or a couple of good strategic decisions to turn things round. So, you know, I think although this will generate a lot of short-term excitement and comment, I think part of this is about protecting their shareholder value, protecting the share price, as they've had problems with corporate raiders. So whether anything actually comes of this or not is remains to be seen. Ricky, did you want to come back on that briefly?
Yeah, one thing also that kind of is interesting to me in looking at different people who, or companies who might be interested in the phone business is obviously some of the smaller manufacturers in terms of global market share, such as LG and Sony Ericsson. And I know that Motorola and Sony Ericsson just recently set up a whole big partnership around Symbian and UIQ. So it'd be rather interesting to see if Motorola doesn't indeed go ahead with this and Sony Ericsson picked them up. I think that would be kind of interesting to see how that would work out.
Well, actually, I was going to come on to that and actually talk about the UIQ stuff. So I think Motorola's big problem has been it hasn't been able to compete in low-end handsets with Nokia in developing markets. But more problematic in some ways has been its inability to compete at the high-end in multimedia handsets. And UIQ, which it, as you say, bought 50% stake of recently, did offer some solution to that problem, particularly in the European market with multimedia handsets, where the N series has dominated for the last few years. And it showed promise in the Z8 and the Z10 phones that have been released, although there was something of a feeling that wasn't quite enough, and we're waiting on Motorola's future UIQ handsets. So it is going to be very interesting to see what happens to their UIQ business in the future, because I personally think that's their one rare sunshine amongst a fairly gloomy picture. You know, their Windows Mobile stuff, although it's good, is relatively niche, and I think they need something like the UIQ multimedia handsets to really reinvigorate their business, especially in Europe, and to compete with N-Series. And I don't doubt that Motorola have the technical expertise and the competence to do that. And I think it could really just be a matter of time. If they can turn this around quickly enough and roll out some UIQ handsets, they could stage a fairly major recovery in relatively short order. I'm talking in the time frame of about 12 months. But the big danger is that they're not going to be able to deliver that quickly enough, and will face too much pressure to get rid of the mobile device division. Ewan, do you have some insight on that?
Yeah, but I mean, there's a couple of viewpoints here. The first one is why they've released that statement. Basically, it's fiduciary responsibility. If there's something that's going to affect the share price for a publicly listed company, which Motorola is on Wall Street, then they have to tell them about it. The fact that there's a press release out talking about the possibility of this happening means that I think there's been some very serious consideration inside of Motorola. This isn't been a bit of blue sky thinking. This has probably been talked out to at least the board of directors because of the nature of the press release. It has to at least go through the CFO, for example. But I think we're actually further down doing something with this than we're talking about here. To be clear, we're not at the point where Motorola said we're getting rid of it all. But we're at a point where Motorola have seriously considered internally, and they believe that they've talked to so many people that this will reach the market at some point, so they have to tell the market. So it's a very real possibility. It's couched very carefully, but it has to be done in proper legal terms. We've already read the point. They just did a massive investment in UIQ, which they announced just before CTIA. I remember sitting down with Motorola's PR people actually at CTA and asking, so what does this mean for the plan for Motorola? Why are they doing this? And they couldn't answer. And Motorola's problem is that they've had an unclear mobile strategy. They got the first mobile phone call as such back in the early 80s. And they've had a couple of lightning strikes. But anybody can get lightning strike. It's making consistent things. If I was Motorola, I'd look at two things. The first one is I would spin out the handset department. There is precedence for this. 3Com span out the Palm division into Palm Computing. This was just after they let Jeff Hawkins and Donna Dubinsky go to make Handspring. They'd done it 6 months ago. Palm would have had that huge, great big fracture. But there is a market way of doing that, so Motorola can still keep the phone division, but it is a it trades as a separate company, and spinning out. And there are various technical and legal ways of doing it. And I think that they should do this. It's purely because this is the guy. They have most of the engineering, most of the smart designers, most of the smart managers from Sendo. If they were to take the phone department, spin it out, basically becomes 100% owned, a subsidiary 100% owned by Motorola, and they just hand it back to the guys that ran Sendo and went, go do stuff. You communicate, you be the plan, you do the strategy. Sendo had it all laid out, it junked. You know, we've all seen what the X2 was going to be like. They knew where they were going. Let them off the leash. You'll still derive all the value from them. You'll still increase your share price. And you'll still have good phones. And it will send a clear signal to the market that you're creating, in a sense, the tiger team of mobile phones.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. I'd just point out to Ewan that the Sendo guys are a relatively small proportion of the Motorola mobile phone base, but so I think that may be a bit blue sky thinking. But I just want to point out a couple of things the guys have pointed out in the back channel. As Ricky says, it's Carl Lee-Chan who's the investor who's been pushing for a Motorola breakup and is trying to get more people onto the board of directors at Motorola's annual meeting in May. And Stefan pointed out that Motorola spun out the semiconductor business to Freescale back in, I think, 2004 it was, and they've been doing very well since. So there's precedent there for doing that kind of thing with the mobile phone division. And, you know, we have to remember that Motorola is still a pretty big company. They're the number three player in the mobile device space. They're still 13% of the market. And we're not going to, of course, realise that Motorola is not going to disappear overnight. It's just a question of what does this mean for their short term sort of smartphones and that kind of thing. And after all, smartphones, high-end phones are only part of what they do. So we just have to realise that there's change in the air for Motorola, and that could have implications for future UIQ devices from Motorola. But really, this is a watch this space, I think. There's certainly stuff going on, and it's inevitable, really, given the problems Motorola have gone through. Their market shares halved since 2006. They made a very substantial loss in the mobile device division. So if anything, I think this news should be seen as an encouraging thing because it's being thought about. But what implications it will have, too early to say, but it'll be an interesting one. Watch this space. It's one of the biggest mobile phone companies after all. And so, you know, although we concentrate a lot sometimes on the 40% Nokia has, there's still plenty of other players in the market. So the other piece of corporate news I wanted to talk about was Lenovo. And I know Stefan knows a bit about this, so perhaps you could tell us about this, Stefan.
Okay, so Lenovo is very popular in China, even though we probably haven't heard of them over in Europe and the USA. And they were making handsets, but they weren't making that much money off of it, so they sold off their handset division for 100 million US, I think, to a VC firm called Honey Capital, H-O-N-Y. And that's essentially it. They were the only S60 licensee to have touch with the P930, but that was more for the input of Chinese characters than anything else. It wasn't about the user interface.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Stefan. And I think the interesting thing here is it's just S60 is losing another of its third-party licensees, because I think we can pretty much guarantee at this stage that any ambitions that Lenovo may have had in terms of producing S60 handsets have gone. We may yet be surprised, of course, but this is generally a sign that you know, the company's in real trouble. It's being handed off to someone else to try and reinvigorate it, and particularly given that its activities in the Chinese market, I would expect them to be focusing more on sort of middle-of-the-road handsets rather than S60, given the cost of development involved in S60 handsets and the fact it takes a while to get into profitability. So, I mean, it's sad news in one sense for S60 because Lenovo were one of its licensees, but to me there seems to be something of an air of inevitability about it. There have been very few successful S60 licensees. Samsung are the only one really of note, I think, at this stage. Although it's quite possible that LG will come back with something, and even Samsung have struggled to sell phones in significant numbers, although that may change in 2008. Just I'll get the panelists here opinion on Samsung's S60 phones. Do you think they can make it, Stefan?
Samsung, actually, I don't think they can. I think that they're going to try extremely hard with their Crocs user interface, and they're probably going to port that on top of Android, because Samsung is not known for dabbling into other people's operating systems. They prefer to build their own custom in-house solutions, and I can completely see them picking up Android in 08 and porting their user interface on top of that just to reduce their costs. I don't think they care so much about the smartphone platform, but that's just me.
And I know you saw the devices at the smartphone show in London. What did you think of them? I mean, if they did push them a bit, do you think they could get anywhere?
Absolutely. They actually had a S60 device with a trackball, which I enjoyed. And then the Samsung i450 has been getting rave reviews on the internet as the number one smartphone in terms of sound quality for MP3 playback. So I just don't think that they're focused on the smartphone market, because they tend to create 100 handsets a year and hope to, dear God, that one of them sells a lot. So
yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. Ricky, do you have any thoughts on that?
I've actually never had the opportunity to play with any other S60 devices. I would absolutely enjoy having an LG one, or especially the Samsung i450. I've heard that it's really neat. I think I've always thought that it's rather interesting that S60 has all these other licensees, yet most people would consider it an actual Nokia exclusive operating system. So I wonder if there's any incentive that S60 makes for other manufacturers to get in there, because I definitely think that more manufacturers using it, such as Samsung, would only serve to just make it better in the long run.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I think it really tells its own story that you haven't been able to get your hands on a Samsung S60 device. So I think we'll move on to our last bit of corporate news for the day. And this is just come out today, in fact, that Microsoft has offered to buy Yahoo. And although this isn't directly related to mobile, obviously both companies have considerable activities in the mobile space. Ewan, can you tell us a bit about this one?
Yeah, and of course, when we say today, we mean today as we're recording it today. Yahoo's proposed board of directors, Microsoft will acquire basically every single Yahoo share for $31 per share. That puts a value on Yahoo of something in the region of $44.6 billion. Roughly half of that to be made up as cash, the other half to be made up as Yahoo shares. I've just come off the conference call from the Microsoft and Yahoo executives, obviously Friday, and this has been going on for some time, obviously, as it's been long rumored in the Valley. It's over 18 months or so of discussion, as Steve Ballmer's brought up, and really, it's about search. Microsoft have never been able to get a handle on Google search. Yahoo has at least maintained its percentage. Yahoo's also built up some great community assets, as Ray Elsie points out, and Microsoft lots of productivity apps. There's very little crossover in the sort of software space. There are obviously things like email and messengers, but I can see those staying separate properties in the same way that AOL Messenger stayed separate from ICQ as well. It's an interesting one. If it goes through, it's going to take at least 6 months for any sort of completion to happen, latter half of Q3 2008. And of course, there's a huge amount of existing brands. Yahoo already oversees brands such as Flickr and Upcoming, which can live quite happily outside of that. And, you know, I don't think that there'll be a massive push to get everybody into one great thing. It's very woolly. I mean, obviously Microsoft went, here's a shred load of cash. We'll bring you in to get search, and then we'll look at all the other bits and pieces and see what we can do with them. I think the main thing to take away is the sheer value here. I mean, the trading value of Yahoo was not $61 a share. The closing price last night was about $40 a share. So this is 70% over the trading value of the shares. It's very hard to see how the board of directors would recommend turning this down because of the pure amount of profit. Board of directors have to maximize profit to shareholders. This clearly maximizes profit to shareholders. The only thing I think we have to watch from the horizon is if another flag wants it. I mean, by that I mean a really big company that just wants a property. I think only News Corp would be in a position to put in a counter bid here. I don't think Google would get past any competition. I don't think that anybody buying it to make money out of Yahoo directly, sort of like a financial deal, can do it. This has to be a strategic deal to want it, and really the only three players that can do that at the moment are Microsoft, Google, or News Corp. I think Google are right at the running because of anti-competition. I think News Corp will probably turn around and say no, because of the price. But I think this is going to be a done deal, and I'll get hung for that in 6 months' time when AOL buy them, probably. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Did someone want to jump in? I can edit it out. Fine. I'll just say what I was going to say. Okay. Thank you, Ewan. I think the big news here is that it's a shotgun wedding of a sort. But the only caveat I'd say to it being a shotgun wedding is it's a shotgun wedding between Microsoft and Yahoo, but Google is holding the shotgun. It's basically these two companies have to do something about the emerging dominance of Google. And getting together is a very good way to do that, and they'll be able to compete more effectively. Whether it will work or not is, of course, open to debate. The impact on mobile here is, of course, really about the variety of internet services that these companies control together. How much direct impact you'll have on people's day-to-day uses is more difficult to tell at this point, but I agree with you, and I think this probably will go through, and watch this space in sort of 6 months' time. So the final thing I wanted to talk about on this week's Insight is the Mobile World Congress, which will be happening in a week's time. This is, of course, the big gathering in the mobile world where all the big companies get together to show off their latest products and the press descends and there's lots of business-to-business meetings. So going around the table, I want to get an idea about what predictions or what we see coming out of MWC from each of the people on this Insight. So we'll start with Stefan. What do you think we'll be seeing at MWC next week?
I think we're going to see a bunch of the handset manufacturers copy Nokia and Sony Ericsson and announce their own services, because honestly, I think that we can all agree that we're tired of hardware. We've reached that saturation point of features where we need to see improved usability and enhanced user experience rather than increased megapixel count, larger screens, yada yada. I'm excited to see what Google is working on. I'm sure that Nokia will come out with several flagships, but other than that, for me, it's not really about the hardware. We will see plenty of hardware, but I am looking forward to the services more than anything else.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that one. It'll be very interesting to see how people respond to OV. Sony Ericsson already started it. I think that's a big ask for some of the companies. So how about you, Ricky? What are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I have to agree with Stefan in that the hardware is getting to the point. It's almost like the video game systems. You know, there was several years ago, you could tell a big difference in video quality, say, between different generations of video game consoles. And I remember when the PS3 came out, for instance, there wasn't too much difference you could really honestly tell to the average person between the previous and the new one. And I think that cell phone handsets are getting to that point in terms of features and, like Stefan said, the camera count or megapixel count and that sort of thing. So I definitely agree that I think we'll start to see a lot of new software innovations. I personally hope to see Nokia actually make available some of the cool internet services that they've talked about for the last 6 to 8 months. That's one thing that I would really, I'm hoping that we see. Obviously, handsets are going to come out and that sort of thing. I would imagine that Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree that mostly I think the interesting things that are going to come out of it are not going to be the physical hardware, but it's going to be the software.
And how about you, Ewan?
I think this 3GSM Mobile World Congress is going to be notable for what we don't see. Are we going to see the N-Gage? yeah. We laugh, but that is a serious question. I think we should discuss when we actually know the answer to that. The honest answer is, I don't think we're going to see anything big from Nokia or Sony Ericsson or the big boys. I think Sony Ericsson will do what they normally do and announce something 2 or 3 days before 3GSM so they can control the news cycle and at least get some press about the handset rather than the scrum that is Barcelona. I think Nokia will announce some mid-tier S60 handsets and you know the sort of basic enterprise ones, but nothing in the flagship range. Again, because they can't control the news cycle, they would much rather announce at their own event, you know, a couple of weeks down the line, where they can get all the reporters to their thing. 3GSM is just too much of a taking a risk that you might get drowned out. And not by anything that's better, just by something different. So I don't think we'll see anything big from Nokia. We'll see lots of demos. We'll see lots of existing things slightly improved. I mean, they've already pre-announced the roadmap for Ovi and NS, and so I'm sure we'll see... I think we'll probably see the demo of the LifeLog version of Ovi running on PC. Just to echo the points that we had there from both Rookie and Stefan, guys, you're right, hardware is no longer a zero-sum game. When we review these handsets, as we all do, you know, the first half of the review is, it still has this, and this has been improved by 0.05%. Woo! And people go, but you missed out this 0.001% feature. So there's no pressure to improve hardware because it's pretty much at the limit. Generically, I think we'll see a lot more services. I think we'll see companies come up with immature services. I think that there's going to be at least one or two big announcements of some form in music of what I don't know. And I think that, again, there's going to be this idea that content should be pushed to devices. I know that's something that we've probably heard for the last year or 2 years, but the regular consumer, to have the headlines available on their handset whenever is still black magic voodoo. So I think we will still see overpriced, underwhelming content being handed out to regular users on networks. And those of us looking for, you know, enlightenment and the next great big Swiss Army knife will again be disappointed.
Okay, thanks, Ewan. Well, I think Ewan's just managed to spend a couple of minutes waffling without really giving us any solid predictions. So I'm going to disagree with him, and I'm going to disagree with the other guys, just to be difficult here. And I'm going to say, actually, I do expect to see quite a lot of hardware. I expect to see some stuff from Nokia, possibly new E-series and new N-series. I also expect to see stuff from Sony Ericsson, and I expect to see stuff from Motorola in the UIQ department. And actually, I think one of the themes of MWC may well be people realising that UIQ offers a very serious alternative to S60. I know we talk about it a lot, but more generally, it's rather under-recognised. Then I'm also going to say I think we'll see a lot more about software platforms in general. I think Nokia will probably be talking about the next generation of S60. I suspect we'll be hearing more about Android, as Stefan mentioned. And I think Linux more generally will be making quite a big appearance at the Congress. I suspect LIMO will be talking about its first handsets. That's the one of the other Linux platforms out, instead of Android. Indeed, there's been a couple of pre-announcements to that already, so I expect to see quite a lot of activity around that area. And I think MWC is going to be one of the biggest events of its kind that it's ever been. And I suspect we'll see more activity than we did last year, where there was quite a lot of activity, but perhaps not as much as some people were expecting. So, you know, just to provide the alternative view, although I agree with the guys that the future is all about software and services, you know, you still have to have hardware to run it on. And hardware is still the thing that makes it really interesting for everybody else who doesn't really get into the technical aspects or the future looking so much. So, you know, despite that software and services push, which I agree we will see, I still think there's going to be plenty of sexy hardware, and all the manufacturers will be trying to outdo each other as much as possible, because in some ways MWC is just really about competing and seeing who's the biggest, baddest ass on the block And who will win this year? Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty closely fought this year. And as Stefan's just put in the back channel to this, that Sony Ericsson's going to be copying Nokia. Nokia's going to be copying Sony Ericsson, so it's going to be nothing new. Well, yes, I think that's probably right. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening to this week's All About Symbian Insight. As ever, if you've got any comments, please let us know. Or indeed, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please get in touch. We record this at a fairly regular time on Friday afternoon, and we then publish it early the next week. So if you'd like to get involved, please drop me an email, rafe@allaboutsymbian.com.
So it just remains for myself to thank Rafe for ably hosting the show, as always. Thank you, Rafe.
Thank you, Ewan.
And our guest, Ricky Cannon.
Thank you, guys.
And Stefan, because
it's a pleasure to be here, as always, Rafe.
Okay, thanks, Ewan. Thanks, Stefan. Thanks, Ricky. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.